Well, I think an example that most people can probably relate to better than steering an ocean liner is my wife has been doing this for 43 years. She always says yes. And then we do it her way.
Right.
But we start with yes. She never says no. And you know, it's really interesting how that works. And I watched her with our children.
Yes.
The answer was yes.
You want to share an example about the daughter, your daughter?
Well, I can tell you one example. And I've said this in seminars. You're probably thinking of this one, is that she was in high school. She was our younger daughter, and she was the last one at home. And she walked into the kitchen one evening just before dinner and announced that she was going to take three of her friends, and they were going to drive to a concert in Portland. Now, we live in Central Oregon across the mountains, and it was wintertime. And you want to understand, Danny, that she'd only have her driver's license about 3 weeks at this point. Mm. So this means she's going to take our car, drive across the mountains to a concert. And oh, by the way, Dad, the concert starts at 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday night. Now, immediately, I'm thinking, there is no way this is going to happen. And I listen to Carolyn, and she says, Tiffany, that sounds like so much fun. How can we make that happen? And they started coming up with alternatives. And the first thing I knew, it was Tiffy saying, you know, I don't think this is going to work. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to wait till summer. And I thought, how did she do that? And she took that example and just turned that around, and everybody was happy.
Sure.
Now, for those of you listening to this, you remember back to when you were 16 years old, you know, you're pretty much at the point where you're going to do whatever you want to do with your parents' blessing or without your parents' blessing, you're going to do it. And by saying yes, she turned that around so carefully. Now, some would say, well, was that manipulation? I say not at all. That was just, I mean, that's empathy and rapport. It's enthusiasm and agreement.
And it's control, and it's agreement. And we're going to talk about the distinction between control and manipulation, because it's time to elaborate a little bit more on negatively charged words and being careful with the words that you do choose. And the reason that you do that is because people shut down when they feel that somebody is not agreeing with them. We get into defensive mode to justify our position. We dig in our heels.
And the way to control a conversation, whether you're on the phone or face-to-face, and of course we're talking on the phone today, but is to ask questions. And as soon as you ask questions, you gain control. And while you're talking, you lose control. And if you listen to many of the calls coming in, the good calls, the person in the office is asking the questions, and the other person is listening and or answering the questions. And that's how you maintain the control. Ask questions.
And when we say control, again, we don't mean manipulate. You're the experts. You actually owe a duty to the caller to take control of the call so that you can provide them with the information they need. And that can only take place when you are in control.
Well, I think it goes further than that, Danny. I think you're not only you have the obligation to help them have the best dental treatment possible. And if you can't get them into the office, at least for consultation, that's never going to happen.
That's right. You can't. You know, it takes two to tango. So an illustration of avoiding negatively charged words. I like this one. I would ask you, which seminar would you prefer to attend? The first one is entitled Sexual Harassment in the Workplace and Dealing with Racism. Or Men and Women as Allies and Friends and Celebrating Pluralism. Now, if you take a moment to evaluate those, they are actually talking about the same seminar. And I actually had one person of a coaching subject tell me that he would have preferred the first one. And I asked him why, and he said, well, that was obvious and clear about what the lecture was about. The other one wasn't as clear. It's a valid point, but anytime a word can be construed as, when it's at best neutral, if it can be construed negatively or neutrally, you want to avoid it. For some people, the words sexual, harassment, racism, for some of you, it might even be workplace, but that's beyond the scope of this session. You want to avoid them.
Well, here, some of the words that are negatively charged, Danny, that we
sure
hear constantly on phones.
We often hear words that are we require, you must, we only, we don't, we need. In other words, implying that that's not the way we do things around here. And Bill already talked about the strength, the power of yes. Basically, if you get into a mindset that whatever people are asking, you're going to be an ally of theirs, you are in really good shape. And the way to remember that is that you want to have a mindset that's defined by, yes, we can, not, no, we don't. So examples of the yes we can mindset are, I can help you with that. I understand. Let's see how we can make this work for you, for instance. So if I hear you correctly, you'd like to put in your suggestion here, or that's a great suggestion. Those are supporting statements that show that you care, are listening, and are on the caller's side.
So you want to eliminate all of those negative words. Just eliminate them from your vocabulary. This will go a long ways changing the way you approach life. I mean, there are people out there who are positive, and there are people who are negative. I prefer to be around those people who are positive. And one of the things that we do when we evaluate team members, that's one of my questions. Is this person a negative person, or is this person a positive person? Does this person bring energy to the situation, or are they an energy vampire that is attached to the jugular and suck you dry? And you see, this is how you're being evaluated by the person on the other end of the phone. If you're positive, it creates energy. They want to be with you. But if you start with negative, they want no part of it.
It's actually more fun to be around yourself when you're positive too. And just remember, and I mentioned this earlier, in their head, everybody listens to WIFM. What's in it for me? And don't get frustrated or discouraged if this doesn't occur the next time you answer a call. Just observe and be present to it. And you will find that as time goes on, you will become more and more adept at being a yes, we can, as opposed to a no, we don't.
Well, as a challenge in our seminar and our coaching program, I say this evening, when you're out in restaurants, when you're out in retail shops this evening, start observing those people that you meet that's yes, we can versus no, we don't. And just see how you respond to that. Well, I think there's some things that we need to do in preparation here, Danny. I mean, I think we have only certain types of visits that we actually deal with in a dental office. We have about four basic kinds, and I say what we need to do is prepare and actually write scripts for the different things. You see, you have patients of record, and we have those patients of record that come in on a regular basis, and they want to make a hygiene visit. We have patients of record that from time to time have emergency situations, and we have patients that want to call and make appointments for restorative visits. And those are basically, that's what we have.
That's pretty much it.
That pretty much covers it.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have, we get calls as well, and we're not really talking about these, but we have calls about their bill and about their insurance coverage and that sort of thing as well, or about making appointments. But these are the four basic types of calls that you get, and so let's be prepared for those. And then we have the prospective call. This is the person calling from your marketing, whatever it is, whether it be patient referrals or whether it be media generated or where it's a direct mailer with an offer, whatever it is, you have these are prospects at this point. And again, you have some with emergencies. And this is one of the reasons that Danny emphasizes you always ask, are you currently in any discomfort? Because you've all been around dental offices long enough to know that very often this is something people put off until they have some discomfort. So I feel it's critical that you ask that, and what better way to show them you care about that? So you have the emergency patient, and you have the non-emergency patient. Break it down. There's two types of patients.
And what do you do? And you're going to get the telemarketer call too. That's obviously not directly related to your business, but having a policy for how to handle that effectively is also important. In fact, while you're practicing and honing your telephone skills, and I don't want to waste anybody's time, see how you can do at qualifying every call. Find out what they're doing quickly. Don't be afraid to connect with everybody, and then just say, I'm sorry, that's not something we're interested in, but I really appreciate your call.
Yeah, be nice to them.
Be nice to them, because you never know. They may be a telemarketer, they may be down the street, and they may break their tooth tomorrow.
They may be right around the corner. They might be next door.
That's right. And, I think it might be a good idea to just do a sort of a role play right now, Bill, with you and me. Why don't you be the caller? It'll give us a chance to just summarize the different skills getting to the point where you can begin to connect with the caller. So I'm going to assume that you're calling me in response to a direct mailer, and let's just go from there, okay?